I have no idea why I stopped my podcast or took a break, but I'm back. No fronts, a place where anyone can talk. Only one rule, no bullshit.
I always feel like I've always suspected, me personally, that that like all these dudes like all know all the social media company owners, and they all got together and were like, how can we convince people to continue to spend more time on these platforms? And they were like, well,
I have the same theory.
I always feel like I've always suspected, me personally, that that like all these dudes like all know all the social media company owners, and they all got together and were like, how can we convince people to continue to spend more time on these platforms? And they were like, well,
I have the same theory.
You know what I mean?
Especially, well, Gary drops, see, the others don't really promote like all the platforms as heavy as him.
Right.
He promotes them heavier than anybody. Put it this way, if he's not getting paid, then he's a bad businessman at this point.
That's what I'm saying, dude.
Doesn't make sense.
Dude, one day I was just sitting there posting and I was like, you know what? Fuck Gary V, man. Like, when I listen to his shit, it just makes me feel like there's no fucking way, man.
Yep.
I knew it, man. I knew I wasn't the only one.
No, I thought the same thing. It doesn't add up, because if he's not getting paid, he's the worst businessman in the world.
Because he should be, for all the shit. Man, it's because of him that all social media usage has like quadrupled, man. I mean, that's like understating it. You know what I mean?
He's 100% the reason right now.
Everybody's like, I've got to become the influencer. You know what I mean?
Western Facebook and Twitter. So like, it's like, yeah, okay, well, you're improving our stock tremendously,
and maybe that's his angle, man, because but then you'll notice, like, though, somebody will badmouth, you know, fucking owner of Facebook, for the life of me, I can't remember his fucking name right now. That's so weird.
Mark
but,
Zuckerberg.
Zuckerberg. Yeah, and that's what I'll say. He'd be like, I don't, you know, he's like, whatever. I think, you know, Zucks is one of the smartest men in the world. No matter what somebody says, he always kind of judos the arguments.
Yeah, and everyone's focused on him selling a pair of sneakers that they're not realizing what he's actually selling.
Exactly, man. Like, I don't even think anybody, like, there might be people, like, of course there's lines buying it, but that's not his bottom line, man. But he is smart in the way he's doing it. He's, you know, it's the magician holding one hand here, but the addiction is up, man.
But I will say this, there's no one out there that gives the kind of free value that man gives.
Absolutely. To all the other dudes, fuck all the other dudes.
Oh my God. Like and that's why I respect him, is because as far as that goes, he is literally giving more value than anybody out there. And most of his shit is like what people pay for in like a Ty Lopez class.
It's true, absolutely. You know what I mean? Absolutely.
So I have a lot, I respect him for that a lot.
Absolutely.
But he's smart, because he knows that 95% will never follow through with it, you know, and he says that, and it's true. 95% of the people that they'll take his advice and they'll do it for a month, or they'll try something, an ad thing in Facebook, and give up after the first time. It's like they're not taking it. So I don't know.
No, it's true. It's true, man. And because it's not easy. It's fucking
work. It's not easy. But here's the thing. I can say for myself that it does work. Like, it all does work. I'm doing it. And it's like, I've been, the one thing I've been the entire time, if anything, is consistent.
Yeah, you know, I mean, sometimes I'm like, fuck, I mean, I get messages from people saying, oh man, that made my day a lot better. But other than that, I'm like, well, fuck. Like, I mean, like for me, that's dope. And then, and then the other part of me, the lesser part of me is like, well, will this amount to anything like else? And I'm like, Phil, you know, like, yeah, I'm constantly pushing myself back and like trying to like tell myself like, you know, you should, you're a philosopher, be that. And then, you know, and then the other part of me, philosophers don't eat. And then I'm like, you know, if I was like, that's why you have a business.
Yep. No, it's true. And, you know, I still get these moments where I'm like, it'll be every couple months. And I just had one. I've gotten so used to them that I don't really get into it as much. But essentially, what really happened for me is like, I'll get a moment where I'm like, well, okay, yeah, I've got this business and it's definitely making some money, but like, am I really like, where's the end game for this? And then literally the next day I get a message from someone telling me that someone last night actually said like, that they put up a post and then they tagged the picture with my name. And so, and it says in the caption, click in front of my face. And it was said social authentic. It said, this is what I'm looking at. And then just started like, basically like saying what I've done for him and how committed he is. And like, it was like a whole page under his, in his caption. And like, then I was like, okay. That's what's up. That's exactly why I'm doing what I'm doing. You know, like, it's like that thing is just so much bigger than the other stuff. And then the other stuff, I'll get these like little tastes, you know, like this thing I'm doing now, and it's exhausting. There's moments where like, if I didn't have that, like if the universe didn't like tap me on my shoulder and say, here's a little something, I don't know if I would be as consistent, but for whatever reason, I've had these like moments throughout this process.
Man, we have so much in common. It's crazy, dude. Every time we talk, because that's true for me too. Every time that I put these videos out and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, you know what? Maybe nobody's really listening. Somebody will send me a message and say, bro, this just helped me so much.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for those little moments, the truth is, yeah, I probably would have just moved on to something else, because I have a habit of that.
I have a habit of it too. And there's a couple of reasons for me that I've learned about myself through a lot of fucking work. But it's, you know, reason number one is it's like that Nirvana song. The lyrics, like, I'm not easily amused. And so I go, you know, like things bore me or I lose interest because I figure it out. And then once I figure it out, I'm not in love with it as well. So it's like, well, if I kept going now, I probably would have really made a ton of money, or really, you know, whatever. But I don't, because I'm not in love with it now. So the other thing is, it's a double-edged sword, because there was also part of me was like fear of succeeding and feeling like I'm not worthy, or I'm not worthy. So when I succeed, I'm going to feel like a fraud. And then there's the thing now where it's like, I love more than a paycheck to inspire, or even if it's just like those three people, those 10, those 20, those 30 DMs, those 50 I get, or I've had, like, if it's just those, like, I love it so much that the next one is going to be worth it. So that's what I'm chasing. And that's like my big bag of dope high that I go for now.
I mean, that's definitely where it's at. The activity itself is becoming intrinsically rewarding. And that's what all the great philosophers of today say, right?
Yeah.
Making it so that whatever you're doing, that right there, it should be the reward itself. What is it? The Japanese call it the ikigai.
Oh yeah, and that's like which is basically the process, right?
Yeah, like the sushi master that makes the sushi in Tokyo. Right. He's got a little shop, and like it's just the act of making the sushi that's his reward. Of course, he's also bawling and went viral, but nobody's going to talk about that.
Right. Yeah, his Bentley and his process.
All I want is my Bentley and my process. My Bentley and my process.
It's like, yeah, it's like wabi-sabi, you know. That's a whole other topic. But like Japanese culture, they're like, they talk about how like the imperfection of something is so beautiful. I learned, you know, like I did interior design for a long time. And they talk about the imperfection of something and the beauty of it, you know, and like how a broken vase in a neutral color against a like piece of wood can be like so much more engaging and pretty and design worthy for like a home. But yet they also will take that gold vase, and because it was broken, they think it has more value. So they'll dip the broken part in like pure 24 karat gold.
Oh yeah, yeah. So I think like, I know what he's talking about. Yeah.
So it's like they like the imperfections, but not enough to not just keep it as is. They gotta put gold on it.
So it's like 23s.
It's like it doesn't make sense. It's like on one hand, it's like such a beautiful concept, and then it must have gold.
Religion, right? Religion in general, right? You know, it's let us be here for the poor to raise their weary spirits, but also pass that shit around the back and make sure they drop a dollar in.
Yeah, for real. Don't forget. It's like, dude, it's humanity.
It's this man-made construct that we live in, man. I mean, it's true. Everybody's got to eat.
Yep.
Including religions, yep. Man. Any nonprofit. That's so crazy, man. We have so much in common, dude. And like, I think it was through a Gary Vee post that we came into contact and fucking, you were like, what's
was
up?
Was that what it was?
Yeah, you were like, what's up? I was like, what's up? And then from there, just fucking like, I think I sent you a message, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. And as far as how that first message or why, I don't remember, but I remember you sent me a message and we just like instantly clicked.
Mm-hmm.
And we were planning to hang and then like I got
like tacos food. And shit.
Yeah, we were gonna go get tacos. And I was like, I was so about it, and I got swamped, and like, and you weren't like one of those people. You weren't like hitting me up constantly about it. You have a life too, and like, and then like, it took time, and then we finally really linked up. But what's crazy is we still haven't actually met in person, which sounds really suspect. When you say it out loud, it like kind of makes me cringe a little bit.
Nah, man. No, because I get it though, you know. And you know, actually it's something that I struggle with constantly is and I think that you can speak on this too based on the life that you're living. It's like I don't remember what it's like anymore. It's been about 2.5 years now since I worked a regular 9-to-5, and it's weird because I used to have coworkers. I used to have a schedule, and I could divide my life. You know, like I went to work, and then I worked on my creative projects, like music. And now, everything just seems one long blur. And if I'm not careful, my day is gone.
Man, it happens so fast that I'll be driving home, and I'll tell myself that when I get home, I have to do these couple things, and then I get home and I start one, and because I get so hyper-focused, it's just the way my brain works, it's like now 3 a.m. and I've only done that one thing. I'm like, where the fuck did the day go? Like, yeah. It's like, wait, what? I'm not even high. Like, where did the day go? Like, what the... And that's just, I don't know. It is a blend. I've had more experiences in the past 4 or 5 months where someone has said, all right, so we're meeting Friday, and I'm like, yeah, I'm down. And they're like, okay, I just want to make sure. And then the next day comes and they're like, all right, where are you? And I'm like, it's Thursday. Because I literally, I it's all like seven, it's just 7 days a week, you know? It's
yeah, like, man. No, yeah.
It's weird.
It's real, man. It's, and you know what's funny is I don't see anybody talking about this out there. Because how many of these dudes that everybody's looking at, or these women that everybody's looking at, like Marie Forleo, you know, I'm gonna throw it out there. Like, how many of these people are doing it solo? And then it begs the question, is it supposed to be done solo? You know, because dude, bro. I'm fucking, you know, like every day of my life, I'm out here. You know, the girl I'm seeing, she tells me like, you know, you're a workaholic, low key. And I'm like, what? Hell no. I feel like I'm not doing shit.
Oh, dude. Let me be really real. Like, my girl is, she doesn't even live here, but she's going to be here for a bit right now. But regardless, she doesn't live here, and like, she wants to like have time alone. And I'm literally either like, okay, just 10 more minutes. 3 hours later, she's literally like, God bless her, like jumping on me. And I'm like, okay, just 5 more minutes. And then 5 more minutes turns into 3 hours. She comes back and I'm like snoring because I've literally worked myself into a coma.
Yeah.
And it's nothing, and it's, God, man, like, it's so, like, her not taking it personally, she does sometimes, but, like, for the most part, I give her credit, because I can't imagine, like, that's just got to be tough, like, and it's not because I don't love her, care about her, or, like, I'm not attracted to her in any way. It's literally because, like, yes, I'm in love with what I do, but also, like, I said it to her last night, actually, or a couple nights ago. It registered. I said, you, like, tell me someone who's insanely successful who, like, who said, yeah, they worked 3 days a week. And it was, like, kind of on their own hours and whatever. And, like, for the most part, they just, like, hung out, partied, banged chicks, or, you know, just banged their wife, you know, the other 3 days a week, and, you know, and like took their kids to the park, like while they were coming up. It's like, no, it doesn't really, it can't work that way. It's just not possible. So,
yeah.
Or maybe it is, but for me, it's not, you know, like,
right. I always say, I feel like, I always say,
yeah.
Same.
Yeah. Like, I know my, like, but then there's, you know, there's this guy, I don't know if you follow him, and he's become a friend. Well, we actually suspect, my life suspect. We haven't even met in person, but
I'm done with you now. Oh, man. No,
but like, it's true. But yeah, so we haven't met, but my girl actually is, they're friends, like in person friends.
Okay.
And like, you know,
reliable,
like,
resources. Friends, like,
yeah, like they have friends, they have real friends time together. And his name, I don't know, have you heard of Shaman Durek? Have you heard of him?
Shaman Durek? Nah. What's his deal?
He's like a third generation shaman, essentially.
No shit.
Yeah. And I think he's, well, whatever. I don't know him well yet, but I know he spreads a lot of positivity. And one of the things he does talk about is, like, he basically says that, like, there's no reason. Like, people complain that thing. They're like, there's no way I'm going to be successful if it's easy, if my life's easy. And he's like, that's so wrong. That's like, why shouldn't it be? And, you know, 100%, I still don't agree with him. Like, I just don't. But I hear him saying that a lot, and it's interesting to me, and I'm intrigued by it. But like, it just doesn't resonate, you know. And like, and I'm not one of those people that was like, first of all, you know, I've told, like, I dropped out of high school. It's not like I'm like this like dude who went to like Harvard and then like, you know, joined the fraternity and then got out and got the job and the thing. Like, that's not my story. So it's not like I'm like, you have to work hard, son. Like, that's not, you know what I mean? Like, that's not my deal. But for me, it just feels like the only way I'm gonna get there is by busting my fucking ass off. Like, that, I just don't, it doesn't resonate any other way. And I think maybe partially is because I feel like I've had like 27 lives already. And so like, and that's, you know, my whole thing, like, I'm living off borrowed time. So I feel like if that's the case, then like, I'm gonna have to work harder than the next guy.
Dude, so many things in common, like, that are evoked when I hear you speak, man, because I feel like I have a chip on my shoulder too, man. Part of me suspects for myself that it comes from, like, I don't feel like I'm good enough in general unless I'm putting out major dopeness, like, whether that's value for people through, like, you know, videos or coming up to a show and tearing it up, whatever it is. There has to be incredible change from the moment I woke up to the moment I go to sleep. Something has to have shifted.
I'm not laughing at you. You keep going.
Because I know, and that's like that's what I hear when I hear you speak. We're like the same fucking person, man. And it's because, you know, I come from a shit job too, the way I was born. And like a lot of it is like, I'm out there trying to prove something, but like, to who, you know what I mean? It's the weirdest fucking feeling, man. And no matter what I do, it's never good enough. That's one of the things also that the girl I was seeing pointed out to me. She's like, you did all this. I'm like, yeah, but I didn't do this. You know what I mean? That's what I'm looking at. You know, the mountain that there is to climb. Hello? Yeah, can you hear me?
Oh, yeah, go on.
Oh, okay. All right, cool. Lost you there for a second. I was just saying, the girl that I was seeing pointed out to me that nothing is ever good enough for me, apparently. And I'm like, yeah, I know. I'm always focused on what I haven't done and not what I have accomplished. And I don't know if that's like something I have to practice. It's like a habit kind of thing. But I think there's something to be said about what you and I are spinning on here, what we're trying to put out. We're talking about that feeling, that need to do, you know.
Women are amazing. I'm not trying to change the subject, but it's
it's true.
It's God, in the moment, it's like, you fucking, like, I want to shake you up and down and like and like like, get the fuck out of my, you know?
I'm just trying to grind. Are you there? Did we lose you again?
Yeah. Can you hear me?
Yeah. We lost you again, huh?
So what I was saying is, like, despite the like disagreement or whatever in women that I have, you know, like that whole mother thing or whatever, like, put all that shit aside, I love women. And even more than that, like, it's interesting because they see what we need more than we will ever see what we need.
That's true.
Like, it's because what you said about your girl, what she said, it's like that's something my girl has said. And it's like, you get that aha moment. Even in the moment, though, when they say it, I'm like, shut the like, you think you know me?
Yeah.
Like, are you fucking, you know what I mean? Like, I get real.
You don't know. You don't know.
Yeah.
I got it, man.
Exactly. And I'm like, yeah, what? I'm like, you have no idea what you're actually talking about. You're just saying it because you want to get under my skin. And like, 2 hours later, I'm in my head. I'm like, she's fucking right. Like, she's so right that I'm not only an asshole for how I reacted, but like, she's right because like, she's on to it in a totally different way. And I, and like, she, you know, they just, I believe there's such a balance with men and women. Like, it is it's the yin and yang. And I think it's something, I don't know, for me, I didn't start seeing until I got older.
Same. There's definitely something there. I can't put my finger on it yet, but I've noticed that. Because, like, if you hang out with your boys or anybody else you're working on something with, they're working with you on it. So, like, they don't observe you. They're observing the task at hand, and they're all about it. But then when you have someone who's with you because they want to be around you, and that dynamic is so different, because then they observe you, they pay attention to you, they learn through you and from you, and vice versa. And so, you know, they look to you and you look to them. And if I'm gathering right, like, you know, from what I get, because I'm the same way, I'll start something and I don't remember the last time I looked up to go, you know what I mean? To see what's going on. So they're just watching all day long. Like,
we're like a dog chasing our tail, basically.
Yeah, man. And there is something to be said, though. I get the feeling, because, like, you know, like with this third generation dude that you were talking about, Sharma, whatever his name was, I don't mean to disrespect, I just can't recall. There's like this whole school of thought of the law of attraction and visioning, and I get it. To some degree, maybe there are only so many things we can control as human beings. But whatever is under my control, the philosophy that I think we're living by, whatever is under my control, you better believe I didn't let it slip by without my trying to avoid it in one way or another. Like, I did everything I possibly fucking could. I think that's where you and I are coming from.
Yeah, it's true. 100%. But see, I also go back to, like, when I gauge myself on how evolved I am, you know, like, based on, like I believe that I really do believe I don't have control over, like, most everything. And that goes back to, like, drug abuse and sort of, like, you know, having to finally accept that, like, once I drink, it's like, I don't want 2, 3, 4. It's like, I'm downtown and I'm like stealing from people I love, and you know what I mean? And so I think for me, one way that I gauge though is, like, I'm terrified of fucking 3 things: 4, flying on airplanes, rats, snakes, and possums. I'll admit it. I will say it until the fucking sun comes up, like, terrified. And like, I mean, how embarrassing, right? But whatever. So if I get on a plane, and it's been a couple, I was more comfortable maybe 2, 3 years ago.
Hello? No, we lost you. Hold on, we lost you after 2 or 3 years ago.
Oh,
so
can you hear me?
You were comfortable
better?
Yeah. So you were comfortable 2 or 3 years ago?
2 or 3 years ago. And then I flew last Thanksgiving and was just like shook on a plane. And it's like I can say, like, yeah, I let go and I'm all about the universe. But like, if my test for myself, my gauge is like, okay, well, let's see how you act when you fly. And if everything happens for a reason when you fly, or if, you know what I mean? And like, the truth of the matter is, like, if I think about it and I'm honest in this moment right now, I don't want to get on an airplane.
Right.
The way for me, like, remember that I've got work. You know what I mean? Like, I still have a lot of fucking work to do. Because if I'm letting go and I trust in the universe and I believe that things do happen, like, for a reason, then, like, kind of don't think I should be scared of flying.
Right. It's hard. Did we lose you again?
Yeah.
Oh, no, okay.
I'm here. I'm here.
Yeah. No, it's hard. It's true, man. Because look, I dove, you know, just like you, I feel like there's a lot of shit that happened that a lot of people in my life have helped me along the way. So I feel like I'm living a borrowed life almost. Like, I was put in this place. Like, you feel borrowed time. I feel borrowed position. you know.
Yeah.
People have all given me a hand, and like I don't know, I can't explain it. You know, my path was supposed to be different, but I kept running into a best friend or a mentor left and right. And so part of me wants to make this shit happen, but then another part of me can't explain how I got here. And so it's like the human conundrum of what part of my life have I been responsible for, and what part of it has truly just been, you know, what's the word? Grace. And you know, I dove into all the areas that I could possibly find answers my whole life. I investigated, you know, pretty much every religion. I took comparative religions everywhere I could. I actually joined and then left because they were creepy, Scientology, just to study them. But I also even became a Freemason and all that. And I still am very close with them and have a lot of respect for Freemasons. Like, I will never speak bad about them, regardless of what anybody says. Like, there's no Illuminati. Like, the whole, like, man, if I could go on a rant, I would. But let's just say I looked for the truth everywhere I could, under every rock. And all I found, man, were other people just like me who had no fucking idea, who still had to pay bills, and they're essentially just running nonprofits, but trying to instill good and serious truths into people to be good citizens of the world and to contribute. And it's just crazy, man. No matter how you look at it, no matter what truth you look for, it's like the Tao Te Ching says, right? The book written by Sun Tzu, no matter where you look, the Tao can never be known, the real Tao. And so there's a part of life that just can't be known. And the other part of it, people like you and me squirm, squiggle, and struggle to make that shit answer. We want to make life happen. And then there are other people who are like, chill, man, the universe.
it's true.
You know?
I put up a post. This reminds me of this post that I put up where, like, it was a hand, like a shadow of a hand. It's one of my early posts doing Social Authentic, and it was a hand shadow, and it said, we don't believe, it's hard for us to believe we can have success because we can't touch it. But we believe there's space and we can't touch that either. Like, personally, you know, like, it was something along those lines. Yeah. And it's like, it's that whole thing of like, if we can't, like, we have dreams, but we don't know what dreams really are. And like, the ultimate question is like death, which, I mean, that would just be a tangent right now. But, you know, like, that, like, you know, it's like those things we can't touch, we don't understand, so we almost are in denial of them.
Yeah.
And I really do think that's why success is one of those things that has become insanely difficult for young people to understand, myself included, until recently. And I believe that, like, and it's not because I'm fucking super successful person, but I believe that the way that I see it now, I know where I'm going. And I think that because you grow up, for me, you know, I grew up, you know, in a household where it's not really there, and there's a lot of worry, and always worry, actually, you know, about money and this and that and whatever, and like, and hearing it. And so I never had experienced it, but then I went to this private school and I was on a scholarship and I was with a bunch of rich kids. And so, like, it's not me, I'm not touching it, I'm seeing it, right? So all the way up until I'm making money for the first time, I'm like, there's no way that it's going to happen for me because I've never been able to touch it. I didn't have it, you know? And I think sometimes people, they bash someone who grew up with money, But a lot of times, like, there's people who grew up with money where their parents didn't give them shit. And, but they became successful and they say, you know, it's their parents helped them. And that's not even the case. And I think the reason isn't because they're fucking smart or because they're well-educated or because their parents gave them money because their parents didn't give them money in certain, you know, circumstances, because they touched it. Like, it wasn't theirs, but it was around them, and it was theirs until they were 18, right? So they knew that it was real. They knew it was something that existed and that it wasn't like this thing that only some people had, because to them, it was in their house, it was in their life. And I think that's why it's not, because, like, I know kids that, like, granted, there are some trust fund kids and, like, but usually those kids aren't, for the most part, they don't really do shit. I'm talking about the ones who, like, you know, like, they didn't get the trust fund, and maybe they will get it one day, and maybe that's helpful because they know it's going to be there, like, when their parents pass. But regardless, they didn't get it, and they didn't even go to college, and they end up being insanely successful. And I believe part of it's because there's, like, a chip on their shoulder, maybe, or because their parents pushed them in a certain way and they felt like they had to prove something. Maybe that's why. But for the most part, I really believe it's because they got to touch it and taste it. And that's what they, and that was the, and they knew it since a young age.
Yeah.
Because for me, it was like, I never had a chance to touch and taste it. Even if I saw it with kids in my school, it wasn't my family's. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, I get it. It kind of reminds me of the first time I threw a $3,000 project out into the wind to see if somebody would bite on the proposal. And when they did, I went from what I thought was possible as far as earning money to, oh shit, people pay to get shit done.
But and if you're anything like me, you thought it was an accident.
Yeah, of course.
Right.
But once you know it's possible, it's kind of what spurred me to look at the job offer I was getting at the marketing agency and going, shit, they're willing to invest that much money in me. What am I really worth? You know, and that's why I took the chance on myself. And I just, like, it's crazy, man, because anybody, you know, I've had plenty of opportunities where people wanted to take care of me or this or that. And I couldn't do it, man, because one, I had to feel like it was me that made it happen. It's probably some ego behind that. But two, like, once you've seen what's possible, it's really hard to go back, man. And you're right. From that point on, it's so real that maybe there's something to that. Since you've already visualized it and felt it and touched it, it's only a matter of time before it re-manifests, you know?
Yeah. But I think that's, like, it's interesting because I mean, I'm not saying it, like, in some fucking, self-proclaimed, like, fucking, you know, like, douchebag right now. But if you really think about it, I've never heard anybody with, you know, any influence, I hate that word, but, like, any of those types or speakers or whatever, or even any of the big, you know, philosophers, old and new, I've never really heard anyone touch on that, which is, like, maybe it's my experience, but for me, I would imagine to never grow up, I think that's got to be a reason, like, there aren't as many successful people in the world. Is like, if you don't, it seems literally like a fantasy if you've never had it until you've you know, had a taste of your own.
Yeah. And it's funny, like, that, it's funny that you say that. Thing. It is. Go ahead, finish your thoughts. Sorry, I feel like I interrupted
you.
I'm just
kind of tripping out on it a little. I'm like, wow, that's like, because, like, everyone says, you know, you hear people like, got to work hard, got to do this, got to do that. But even the guys who say they grew up with nothing, you never really hear them say, like, yeah, I never, they'll say, I didn't grow up with anything, so I wanted it more, right? You hear that. Or,
yeah,
I never, you know, I wanted it so bad that I was willing to do any, you know, all that you hear. But, like, I've never heard any of them say, like, if I had been able, if I had tasted it and touched it at that age or been around it and it was like my family's, I think that even if they never gave me a dollar after the day I turned 18 and I was on my own, I think that I would have found it because I knew that it was real. I knew, right. I knew that financial stability, I'm not even saying doesn't fucking, like, it's not even really the money as much. Well, it is in a sense, it's, but like, I didn't know it was real to have real financial freedom, right? Like, until I really experienced it. But for the most part, like, I can imagine if, you know, anyone's like me out there or whatever, that in their head, it's like, it's fantasy land until they've tasted it. For me, it was.
Dude, it reminds me of like two things. One, people usually say the opposite, right? They're like, oh, if even if you never, like, if you grew up from wealth, no matter what, people, and they don't have it all of a sudden, that those people usually turn to drugs, or like now they're faced with trying to provide for themselves and they're at a loss. And it's like, you forget that they might have been educated at home in a way that allows them to prosper if they wanted to.
Yep.
You know, an education doesn't have to just come from like book smarts. It could be watching your parents manage their books in a certain way, talk about money in a certain way, all those things, right? And then the other is, all these like new school meta books and all that shit, all they talk about is like being able to make something so real that you can see it, taste it, touch it, feel it, and that's how you make it come into your life. And it kind of touches on what you're talking about, where it's like, that's, if you've seen it, yeah. But what if someone's fantasy can become so real that it ends up driving them to the point where they can actually achieve what they were looking for?
100%. But see, and this is why I think preparation and how, and is important, is like, for me, I would never have believed it until it happened. And like, dude, there was a period where, and I can say this without sounding like a douchebag, because it's me. And like, I'm not that dude, you know, like, so, but yeah, like I there was a period in my life where I was making over $350K a year.
Damn.
And straight up. And I remember all the way up until I wasn't grateful anymore, because that's what happens too, right? But all the way up until that moment where like I wasn't grateful and I took it for granted, I every single time I would get a paycheck, I couldn't believe, I thought it was always a glitch, or I like somehow snuck this deal by. And like, and every time, I remember like it was time, because there was a period where, you know, I was doing branding for Downey, but I was also his business manager did a deal for me, which was, I was getting paid, this is obscene, $1,500 per look that I would put him in on press tours. Sometimes doing press for like, you know, a big Marvel movie, I'd put him in between 10 to 20 looks in a day.
Whoa.
Right? And this went on for, you know, doing press on, you know, Sherlock and all these movies. And even towards the end, it was like, when it was time to get paid by the studio, I got like hood, because I didn't believe it, that like I would start bombarding like people, like even his money guy and manager who set this whole thing up, who actually like did me such a solid to like get me in that position, to get me, like, I was the highest paid stylist in the world, period, to any actor. Like, that's not a deal. No one gets paid per look like that. Yeah. And I was like this kid who had no experience styling. I certainly didn't deserve it at the time. I was totally ungrateful. But I was, didn't believe it. So like I would get hood about like pressing when it was time to get paid, even though like there was never a time I didn't get paid, but I didn't believe it. And I had to, like, it was like, I would push so hard because like, I was like, it's not going to happen. It's like, I'm actually like signed a thing and there's paperwork and like, I am going to get paid, but for some reason I couldn't believe it even towards the end. And that's like, you know, that's what I mean. It's like, even when we finally do have the taste, it's like, I didn't believe it. I couldn't believe that that was possible for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Excuse me. Yeah. I get it. And that's crazy too, man, because there's a lot of times I've done work for people where I didn't sign anything, but you know, it was on good faith and we know a lot of people in common or whatever, but I'd be like, hey, you know, they haven't hit me up. Where's this flow? And yeah, you know, it was right. A good amount of money and you know, I needed the money. Yeah. So it was one of those things. Yep. Or like, yeah. So I get it, man. I get it.
You get,
man.
like that, for me, it's like, motherfucker, like,
what's up?
Are you fucking, yeah, like, really? What's good? What's good, homie?
I thought we had a deal.
Yeah, like, listen, you and me, we're gonna go for a walk right now and have a good conversation, right?
Oh, man, dude.
No, leave your cell phone here. I don't want you bringing that with you.
Like, what? Yo, chill.
Yeah, it's just like, listen, bro. We're gonna have to like that's how I would get, you know. And then it's like, I'm also like, dude, I never looked at like, well, okay, let's say they like dropped my rate, like, oh shit, like at very most, okay, they dropped my rate to, let's say they drop it to like $750 per look, like,
yeah,
that would be insane if they did that, right? Because they just don't. But like, let's say let me paint that picture for you, Noah, back then. Let's say they did. Fuck, your life sucks, bro. You're getting $750 per look and 15 to 20 sometimes in a day. Like cry about it, dude. Like, that's what I mean. Like, in the moment, I get, you know, I will never be that entitled for the rest of my life. I will never allow myself to be that entitled.
Man, I get it.
I just won't. I would put a gun in my mouth before I ever, ever allowed myself to be that entitled.
Dude, I can't say that I was making that much money, but there was a point in time where I went from a security guard who was making like $10 an hour to like a paid salary jewelry store manager, the only male, youngest, with no education.
I
was like 20, yeah, and I was making like 3 G's a month from where I was making like $700 every paycheck, or not even like close. And I was like, whoa, what the fuck? And then one day I think the lady who was kind enough to offer me that for nothing, that I did nothing to deserve it, suddenly what she like asked me to like to fix something, and I was like, okay, well, you know, I don't see what the big deal is. And then, you know, I forget what she said, but I said something along like, you know, I said something, man, I threw out like a big word. It's hard for me to remember now, but I said something like, please do not speak to me in a diminutive manner or some shit like that. No, you like, know what
you're
I
like,
mean?
You're like, why don't you ask Hector? Hey, why don't you ask Hector? Like, she looked
crazy
at you like,
shit,
you,
dude.
Like, yeah.
Oh, some crazy God. Shit. Like, I got,
yep.
Like, she was yep. like, what?
Oh, dude.
Entitled, dude. Entitled. I'd slap the shit out of young me if I could.
Oh.
Are you there still? Sorry, it sounds like you might have cut out.
No. Can you hear me?
Yeah, no, I can. Yeah. Yeah, man. Crazy, right?
You know how many moments I had where I embarrassingly now like. Even saying it, and I'm pretty shameless, like as far as throwing myself under the bus and exposing myself. Like, sure. I think you know that by now. A little, you know me. Like, I'll put myself out there, but I'm still embarrassed. Like, do you know how many times I said, I did the like, do you know who I work for? Or like, like, or do you know like what I do? Like, are you fucking kidding me talking to me like that? Like, I spoke like that. Oh, for real. Man.
No.
Yo, dude. If I was the universe, I would have knocked my ass out.
Oh, man. Dude. No. I mean, it's the level of ego is insane for me too, man. I think I remember, like, in high school, everybody was looking at college applications and they were like, what college are you going to go to, Phil? And I was like, I don't need to go to college. I'm going to be famous. I said that in front of the whole fucking school, dude.
Bro, we have the same story. I definitely said that because I wanted to be an actor. But I also said, my go-to also was like, well, I got into NYU film and I got into Juilliard and I'm kind of trying to decide because, like, you know, Juilliard's really interesting, but it's a little pretentious for me. And, like, I don't know, like, I spoke like that. Meanwhile, I dropped out of high school mid senior year and, like, you know, like, it wasn't even in the cards, and I thought everyone believed it. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, it's almost like I was so fucking, I thought, like, they were going to say, oh, yeah, it's fucking Sloan. You're, like, that makes sense. Like, I would probably choose Juilliard if I were you. It's like, no, they were, like, smile, like, an awkward smile. In the minds, they're probably like, this fool doesn't even go to school. He sells drugs, and, like, he's ever even used the word SAT tutor. Like, he's not even going to SMC. This fool's talking like he's gonna be going to like Harvard of film school, and he's not even going to junior college. The delusion and the ego and, like, the fear, like, that I had, and just wanting to impress and be like, was my ultimate demon. It's like, I couldn't care fucking less anymore.
Dude.
Like, genuinely too, you know? Like, I could not give a fuck what you or, you know, the other person or whatever, even close family thinks of me. I want them to, if anything, think of me as, like, someone with integrity and, like, honor and who's, like, honest and kind. Like, that's what I would like. But other than that, like, if it's, like, to impress, like, I could give two fucking shit.
Yeah, it sounds like you and I have both come a long way from that spectrum of where we used to be. And it was hard for me specifically because people also liked me. So it didn't make it any easier to not, you know, fall out of that shit. And I don't know. And I don't know if it's like people liked me or they were just, like, afraid of me, you know?
Bro,
people you were robbing?
Stole from. Bro, I used to, there were these two girls I used to live with. And, well, when I say live, it wasn't like I was on the lease agreement and I wasn't paying rent. So I was squatting in their spare room. And I was like, what's up? This is my, and I better believe I was bringing girls there.
Oh my God.
And, but even then, they loved me, like, loved me. And I was, this is crazy, I was selling them Adderall and then stealing it back from them and then selling it to them again.
No.
Oh, you better believe it. 100%. I obviously wouldn't take it all, but I was selling them so much that, like, I would accumulate, you know, another fucking, you know, 40, 50, 60 pills to sell right back to them. And I'd be like, oh, the dealer's, like, he's running low right now. And I just sell him what I took.
The dealer was definitely running low.
Yeah, like, that was how I rolled. I mean, just because it's insane and kind of funny, but also kind of shows you where I was at.
Dude. Oh, man.
Listen to this. Same girls that I was squatting or whatever you want to call it at their house. It was around this time of year, and I remember because my guy was this one of my guys that I used to cop from was this guy downtown named Alan Taylor. He's probably still there. I saw an article about him that he's been living at this Cecil Hotel for like 60 years. They did an article because he's like one of like, he's lived in this $5 a night hotel for like 60 years. Like, I literally found an article on accident one day and I was like, no fucking way. So I knew he was like, he had this one small moment around the holidays where he would like go out of town, right? Like, he would go to Hawaii for some reason. He had family there.
Yeah.
And so I knew it was going to be hard to get, I couldn't get anything. And like everyone, the backup guy to the backup guy, right? Like nothing. Even Alan was like answering, he's like, well, I'm not there right now, but if you want to wait 1 month, I'm like, 1 month, motherfucker, you said 2 weeks. So I'm like, I got to figure something out and I got to figure it out quick. So I'm sitting in this house and I'm like, it's in Hancock Park. It's this insanely gorgeous, gorgeous, like 3,000 square foot duplex. I mean, they had the top floor. And I'm sitting there and they're in the like room, like gacked out on the Adderall I've been stealing and selling them. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, fuck, like there's nothing I can do. And I didn't like uppers. So for me, it wasn't like I could just go take their Adderall. I didn't like them. So I was like, fuck, what the fuck am I going to do? And I was like, fuck, I'm going to try and, because it was like one of those duplexes where we had our own staircase to like walk up, you know, those, you know, the ones in like on like Orange and Sycamore or whatever. And so I'm like, fuck, I'm going to basically try and throw myself down the stairs. I'm going to be careful so that I don't break anything. Cause like, I don't want to break anything. I just want to get banged up enough where I can like get some Norcos or some kind of like Percocet.
No. Right?
Yeah. Listen. It gets better. So I'm there. I'm like, I like kind of go up to the stairs. I'm like, how am I going to do this? My brain will not allow it. Right. Cause like, I wasn't in the mindset, like I want to kill myself. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know if you know, but like you get to that place and like, it's not easy to do something like that, right? Like your brain won't let you for a reason. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it's dangerous.
Like someone who wants, even someone who wants to kill himself, like jumping's not an easy thing, right? From like everything I've heard.
It takes courage, for sure.
100%, right? So I didn't have fucking shit for courage at that time. It was the last thing I had. So I'm like, fuck, how am I going to do this? Because I went back up to the stairs and I would like do like that running start thing. And I'd be like, all right, this time you're going to count to three. And I'd be like in my head, like 1, 2, 3. And then I'd like run and then I'd come to the edge and I'd stop. And I could not figure out for the life of me, like how to do this. And I was determined because I was like, motherfucker, I need to get high right now. And there's literally no other way. And if I go to Cedars, I'm pretty like, I got a pretty good gift of gab when it comes to doctors, but for the most part, I'm probably not going to get like, you know, shit, right? I'm going to get banged up. So what I did was I was in the living room. There was a side table, really low side table. And I was like, all right, I'm going to put it in front of the staircase and then I'm just going to run and I'm going to try and trip myself over. Right. So I'm like, I'm like, 1, 2, 3, and I like run and I'm like, and I stop right where the table is this time. I'm like, fuck. So I'm like, all right, I have the best plan in the world. This is what I'm going to do. 100%. This is it. This is the move. This is how I'm going to get it. Just fucking, this is one of those moments. No, you got to do it because the reward is going to be so big. You got to do it. Right. I take a t-shirt and I fucking tie it around my eyes like a blindfold.
No.
Right. Listen, I tie it around my eyes like a blindfold. I count to three. I run, and because I had no depth of where it was, because I'd only done it a couple times, I run and I fucking basically trip over the table, fly. I go in the air, fuck, shit, like that. And I hear them go, wow, I'm fucking rolling. Are you okay? They come in the other room. I'm literally like a cartoon character. I look like a Simpsons character, like the way my body was mangled up. The table had fallen, it was a little table, but it had rolled down behind me and was basically on top of me. And I had a blindfold, which I only raised a little bit to be able to see where I was. So it was like kind of just on my forehead. And they come out. I'm on my back looking right up at them, hands to God, looking right up at them. And they look at me with like disgust and like embarrassment for me. And then they just look at me and they go, "What are you doing?" And I'm just like, "Oh my God." I was like, I was trying to move this table and I fell. And they're like, I ended up flipping and they're like, "Why do you have like a blindfold on?" And I was like, "Oh, because like I thought, I was sweating. I'm fucking hot. I've been trying to move this for a long time. The table was like at best 3 pounds." And dude, I was humiliated. I ended up I didn't break a bone and I didn't get a fucking pill out of the doctors. Went to Cedars. I had some bruises and like my neck was like fucked for a long time, but not fucked enough for in their eyes. You know what I mean? And I got nothing. I don't know why I went to that show. I think it was because I was talking about like
the level of ingenuity that you've put into trying to reach that goal, like speaks of your character in terms of how hard you're willing to work to get what you want. You know what I mean? It's just, it was misplaced.
It was totally misplaced. Like, can you imagine just laying there with on your back looking up at these two girls who you've been like robbing and then selling and then re-robbing are looking at you and they're embarrassed of you. Like, they're like, it's embarrassing. Like, it was just like, that was a moment in my life where I was like, incomprehensible demoralization.
I mean, it was that ego that we were talking about, man. Like, where you thought you could just do it all, man. And it's like you said, like, you always felt like you had, like, you had snuck one by on life. And then for me, in a lot of ways, anytime I ever did anything, I've always felt the same way. Like, oh, I got him. You know what I mean? And it's not okay, because at some point you have to realize that, you know, people can be the type to overlook things and, you know, not pay attention, but also people are smarter than you think.
Yep.
That's what it was.
Yep.
Like, people genuinely they liked you, you know, they just liked you regardless. And that's what's always made it hard for me in my past as a youth, you know, the smoke and mirrors I was throwing out, but people liked me. So I got lucky that I had ego, but also likability.
Yep. Yeah. Like, I was a social dude for sure. You know?
Yeah.
Like, I went places and like I wasn't like that, like, outcast that had no friends. Like, I was so social that by the time I was like 25, I like couldn't even fathom being social anymore with anybody.
Right. No, yeah, same, man. I did so much shit because, like, I look a lot like my cousin. So when I was like 14 and I had moved back to LA, I basically had his ID and he was about 22, 23 at the time. So I was just living like them at their age, from the age of 14. So by the time I was getting close to finishing high school, I couldn't fathom another drink, another smoke sesh. I mean, the amount of women and parties that was like involved and all, but like, I almost didn't graduate high school from the sheer just never going to school. I got by on personality, man.
I didn't graduate because I can tell you right now, and you ask any fucking person who knew me then, my number one priority was girls. I literally can tell you that I was like, it was to the point where in high school kids would say to me, "I see you at every party." Like, that's embarrassing. Like, if you're in high school and like someone says to you, anytime they ever go to a party, they see you there, you're literally, I'm like Stifler.
Stifler from American Pie. Wow.
Yeah, like, I'm like that dude, you know. I'm like, the keg's in the back. Hey, what's up, bro? Keg's in the back. Like, I'm that guy, which I never wanted to be.
Keggers. We're gonna have another kegger tonight.
Oh my God. keg stand, count me in. Nitrous, straight out the tank.
Oh, like, man. It was a party, dude.
It was a color. It was a colorful period in my life, that's for sure.
You know what? I'm seeing it, Noah. I'm seeing it right now. So part of the reason why you and I are able to be so single-minded about what we're doing now is because of how much indulgence we gave into so early on. And we just had the 100%. Fortune to be able to get ourselves out.
100%. And I'm tired.
Yeah, that's that too. There's a large degree of tiredness.
Like, there's like that part, which I totally agree with. And then there's the part where I'm just like, I'm fucking beat. Like, lying, cheating, stealing, manipulating, like, fighting. Like, it's fucking exhausting.
Yeah, man. Like, you know, don't count yourself out. When I was a kid, I used to steal from, like, my aunts and uncles, too. And, you know, they didn't have much anyways, man. But I would, like, if I saw $10, they were mine.
Bro, I would.
So I get it,
still,
man.
Like, I still, there's still moments where I'm up and I'm, you know, like, for the most part, when my head hits the pillow at night, I'm like, there's very little anymore these days where I'm like, you know, your head starts going, you're like, I did this thing and only I know about it. And it's like this dirty secret and this thing. I've gotten all that shit out. But there's still once, and even though I've gotten it out, there's these moments where, like, I think about my mom and dad and how I stole from them. And, like, it'll destroy me. And it's like, I've recently repaired my relationship with my parents. And now it's like, it's safe to say it's, like, amazing, which... There's kids that knew me growing up that they thought I, like, they're literally said, like, I didn't even know you had a family. I thought you, like, just came from some, like, yeah, dude. Like, it was like, I was that kid, you know, like, everyone, I would, like, sleep over at people's houses every fucking night. Like,
so much in common, man.
You know what I'm saying? Like, even when I ran away at 17, I was like, sleeping in friends' closets. You know what I mean? Like, but even to this day, I think about my folks and, like, those things I did, and, like, even clearing it up with them, and, like, I still, like, it fucking haunts me, and I don't want to ever have something I do haunt me anymore. Like, I just don't.
You're tired. Yeah,
I'm fucking tired. Like, I'd rather be tired from, like, working really hard and, like, giving, and, you know, like, I want that to be the reason I'm exhausted. And, like, being able, like, my goal, I've got a lot of goals, but, and, like, you know, there's no time frame. I'm not one of those people, like, someone was interviewing me, not really, in, like, I was on Fox the other day, and, like, but no, someone was, like, interviewing me, and they're like, how would you reverse engineer your life? And I was like, I basically said, like, I don't do, like, I know if I'm working with someone and maybe I have, like, some kind of deal going where it's like someone wants to invest, which is something I'm starting to kind of, it's this thing starting to happen very, very, very early on. But, like, even, like, unless it's that, like, I don't want to plan, but, like, I don't like setting expectations of anything, you know? I don't want to let myself down. And it's not because I set the bar low. I just, what's the point? Like, it's going to happen how it happens. I'm not going anywhere. And I'm going to be giving my best, you know, 120% 7 days a week. So why do I need to, like, say in, like, 9 months I want to be at this place? I just, that doesn't, still doesn't resonate. Maybe one day it will.
Same. It's the same. At this point, literally, it's not that I'm setting the bar low either, but it's like anything good that happens, like, great. Let's keep it going.
Yep. Yep.
I get it. I get it, man. I get it. Especially, yeah, like, just the way you came up, the shit that happened. Like, fuck, I mean, just let the good times roll.
Yeah, like, fuck, man, like, I'm just enjoying being, and it's like, I'm enjoying being like a good guy. It's like, I'm enjoying just being a person, like a normal person. You know what I mean? Like,
for once,
and like,
yeah,
for once, like going through the motions, like that's exciting to me.
Yeah, man. I always joke around with people. I feel like I'm like a 50-year-old, and like I'm only 29, gonna be 30 in February. But I always joke around like that because I don't go out. I don't go to parties. Like some of my friends, you know, they're same age as me. Like they still go out occasionally and they'll have a couple of drinks. Like for me, I just can't do it anymore, man. You know, like I just want to succeed and do good things in the world. And like if I could just do that full time, like fuck it. that's fun. That's good enough for me.
100%, and that actually, that was the point. That was actually, so I don't have those like those milestones that I need to hit or whatever. But the one thing that always 100% a major motivating factor is because I want to put my parents on hard. Like I want to, like I just want to like not for the fuck. Like if I could, and I probably will. Like I don't even want them to know it came from me, but I want them to, I want them to taste it. Like I want them to have had a moment in their life where they taste it and realize it wasn't just a fantasy.
Man, I feel that, dude. Yeah. I feel that in a big way.
You know what I mean? Like,
especially after hearing, you know, the story. Yeah.
Like kind of come full circle that you know, and like, and that's why I say, and like I really do say, like there's a big part of me that like I don't want to even say it was for me. I want almost them to feel like it came from whatever it is that they did or are doing, to have that feeling. Like I want that for them so bad, and that's a huge motivation for me. Huge motivation.
Like the only thing I have in my life that I can relate to that, because I don't really have parents, but the one thing I do have, like I'm the oldest male of 18 siblings, and like I just, you know, all of them are suffering because, you know, we didn't have the parental guidance that we should have. And they're not all the same, like, you know, like my older sister is really the only one that's, I think, full-blooded, but I treat them all, my siblings, the same. And it's one of the things that, like, I think about all the time. Like every now and then a situation will arise where I'm like, fuck, I can't just be like, come over and stay in my extra room, or, you know, like those situations are what's pushing me to go to the next level too, man. So I get it. I get what you're saying.
It's like, by the way, sidebar, you should start your own podcast and call it Oldest of 18, Almost 19.
Really?
Most interesting title ever. And without a doubt, I think that's your move right there. I think that's like, would be fucking genius.
Damn. And it's just having conversations with people.
Yep.
I might just make this the first episode then, and the other one I can fucking, the other one can burn in hell.
Bro, yeah, just shoot for real. And just, or even just, you know what? You just say, just because whatever, just say oldest of 18. And basically what it's about is your show's just about, you're everyone's big brother. You're the world's big brother.
Shit, man. That kind of
people
goes
are always trying to come, like everyone's always trying to come up with like a great idea for a podcast, you know? And I'm like, I mean, I hear it, but like to me, fuck, that's a dope ass concept and name. Oldest of 18. And you, oh, ready for it? Get ready for me to just murder everything. I don't even know if you'll know this song, but I hope you do. It was in A Bronx Tale, which is one of my favorite movies, but it's been in, you know, a lot of different movies.
That movie's maybe dope. Just Bronx.
You know the song, I'm 18 with a bullet. You know that song?
No, man. No, I can't say that I do, but I know the movie. I'm going to have to look it up.
I'm 100% tone deaf. Keep that in mind, but It's Pete Wingfield, and the song is called 18 with a Bullet, and that is your theme song. And by the way, I'm willing to almost bet something big, really big, that it may turn into one of your new favorite songs. I just have this real strong gut feeling. And that's your theme song. 18 with a Bullet.
Pete Wingfield, oh man, I pulled it up right now. Inside Story, Volume 12.
maybe we should just exit this out with 18 with a Bullet.
Oh, I can do that, man. I mean, if we play less than 30 seconds, it's legal.
is that how it works?
Yeah, it's like this LinkedIn like podcast law course. Man, when my mentor started going around telling everybody I was a podcast expert, I had to live up to it, man. I started doing all the research, man. Because I wasn't about to be that guy who came up short. It's my ego, yep. You know? So yeah, if we play less than 30 seconds, we should be fine. I mean, they could still like hit us up and be like, hey, can you take it down? And then we have to, it would require that. Otherwise, nobody's going to bother us.
That's the exit song to your next. That's the exit song to this episode, and that's the opener to your podcast.
Dude, I think this should be. What I'll do is, I'll feature it on the one that I mean, because I don't have listeners on the podcast like that, man. I haven't really directed any traffic there, but that's supposed to be like a career day. Yeah, so I'm thinking I want to make this the first episode because it's just so raw. Like this is a whole different type of show.
Let's do it.
I'm with it, man. I'm all about it.
And I think started 18 with a Bullet.
Damn. That's crazy, man.
I want you to hear it. It's that good.
I'm going to listen to it right after. If I play it now, it'll bleed into the mic. But man.
Like, I want it to be, now that I even though it has no bearing on my podcast, I want it to be my song now because it's that. It's like, it's the perfect opener. That's what it is. Or the ending. It's either one, but it's like, it's just because you only the first 30 seconds of the song are the only, like, the best part.
Gotcha. Yeah, man. And good looking out on even making the suggestion, man, because I've been looking for a way, you know, every now and then I kind of just push that whole truth down because it seems like a lot to live up to, you know what I mean? Like to like try to achieve, but it seems like there's really no other cause I could possibly pursue that would probably bring me as much satisfaction as being able to be that person for my siblings. And every now and then life throws me a situation where it reminds me that I'm supposed to be that. And then I'm like, fuck, I haven't even worked.
I mean,
10% of what I should have then.
Yeah. But that's like what I do. It keeps me accountable. And that's like what the show your thing could be about. Like just oldest of 18 is just about being like you have to be accountable because there's people watching you.
Yeah man, I mean it's real. That's big.
Sometimes I'm a motherfucking genius.
He said sometimes I'm a motherfucking genius.
Like it just like it blows my mind. I'm like, man, I am fucking a fucking genius. Like I think of things sometimes I'm like, you're fucking genius.
Oh man, with a hint of Kanye, except actually doing shit. Well, I don't know Kanye personally. Yeah. You know, I don't know Kanye personally, but he has been doing some crazy shit out there. but yeah, man, you're right.
You know what? He's just fucked up. That's straight up. He's got depression and anxiety disorder straight up. And like, it's sad because you said some fucking, like, I'm just like, bro, that's some really, like, you sound like full on.
Yeah,
like,
some of the shit he said. Yeah, I mean, and everybody would agree, like, some of the shit he said has been crazy. But I guess, you know, it's kind of like what happened with Michael Jackson and anybody else who's ever become, like, that famous and iconic and probably that removed from reality where you don't even know who you can trust. Like, I get it, man. I get it. Like, people are around you. You don't know if they like you for you anymore because... who knows?
That's all bullshit. I'm not going to get into details, but I'm going to say this. I used to sign up for that whole reasoning, and being very close to somebody who is top.
Right, and icon.
And that is straight up not true for them. It makes me say, you know what? There's another way.
Yeah. Again, you've touched it, you've tasted it, you've seen it, so therefore, it's a reality.
I've actually, and there is another way, like 100%. It takes a lot of work, and he
yeah.
does a lot of work, and he has to overcompensate and do more work than, you know, maybe I do to have that sort of mentality, but he does it, and so I don't believe it.
Yeah. That's true, yeah. man. That's true.
But also, I love, side topic, love Michael Jackson. I don't believe he did shit to anybody. I, honest to God, and I don't really give a fuck if someone's like, well, I know for sure. It's like, no, you know what I really think is that the kid never had a childhood, and we live in society where growing up is this imprint put on us, when in reality, he was pure magic, and he was pure magic because he never had inhibition, because he was always so innocent, and he loved to be around kids because they're pure magic. It's the same reason I love kids. They're pure magic.
That's true, man. That's true. All my nieces and nephews from all of my siblings who are having kids except me. Damn. I get it, man.
You have like 60 nieces. You've got like...
Don't even get like me 70. Started, man. I fear the holidays because I'm broke like that. Like I don't have
bro.
I don't have that many niece and nephew money, you know what I
mean? Bro, that's like... I mean, I would say 90% of the world doesn't have that kind of niece and nephew money, you know?
Oh my God, man.
You should get them a fucking, you should just download an app on their phone and say Merry Christmas and like, you know, like you all get the same app, the same free app, but it's going to keep you guys in touch. Like get them house parties. Merry Christmas, little homie.
Oh my God, man. Tell me about it, dude. And you know, it's funny that we have so many similarities, man, because, you know, even though whatever, be it on different levels or what have you, the trials and tribulations were there, and there's a pretty serious pattern played out there, man. And I mean,
without a doubt, I agree with you 100% about that and feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. And where it's going is like, it's clear, man, like you've got great things happening for you, you know. You're fucking...
You know, the truth is, when I, like, I get, you know, I get a... And this is... Listen, I've got a decent amount of customers for what I'm doing, and, like, it's pretty fucking... I impress myself sometimes, you know, because it's actually the first business that, like, I've started and, like, run. But more impressive is the DMs I get, and I fucking love them. Like... It's the greatest, like, I can't even tell you how, like, it's just, like, it's not validation, it's, like, it's more of, like, reinforcement that I'm on the right path, and, you know, but, like, and I look forward to those, but when I get a DM and from you, like, there's this fucking, like, I just, and it's crazy, because we haven't kicked it in real time.
Suspect.
But, yeah. we'll just cut that out. But like, I get a DM from you, and I'm just like, it's like, it feels like family, and I love that.
Same.
That's like, bro, for what reason? I don't know. But that's, to me, like, that's fucking dope. And so, you know, I just, it's, that's something like, when you know, going back to you just saying about like, trials and tribulations and, you know, and all that stuff, like similarities, and like there must be, and it must be even deeper than you and I know, because like it just like it's, I get that like feeling, I'm just like, this is like family. And I've had, you know, I meet people and make friends, and I've had good friends over the years, and like, but like I haven't had that kind of thing since I was like in my teens, like with my boy, like this dude James that I grew up with, or you know, like this kid Matt, like these are my boys, like youngster, and that's just fucking awesome.
Yeah, it's not common, man. I 100% agree to that. Like, there's the, I don't know what work you and I are supposed to be doing or if this is the work that we're doing, but it's definitely something else, man.
I feel like, to be honest, even just, you know, after doing this, like the funniest part about it is it was probably 35 minutes in where I was like, to myself, in my head, I was like, well, this is the illest podcast episode ever. And we haven't even, like, we didn't even do a thing where, like, you're like, all right, so yeah, I'm going to ask you a question about this or, like, and then we're going to talk about it. It's like, I was 30 minutes in, I was like, well, that was easy because this is the illest podcast ever.
Dude, it was just a conversation. Like, that's all it was, man.
Zero questions, zero preamble about what, you know, like the idea, the concept originally. I was like, it'd be cool if you interviewed me on my podcast and like whatever. That didn't even, it's just straight up raw.
and I think, I mean, there may be a place for that. People may be into that. I've always had this analogy of like being able to invite someone to be a fly on the wall in the room when a couple of people don't know that they're being listened to, and like that kind of podcast has a place. You know what I mean?
It's all about, it keeps going back to circling around to taste and touch. It's why I hate reality TV, but it's why people like it so much, because you're a fly on the wall. You get to taste and touch something you haven't tasted and touched.
Yeah, man. And more often than not, it's kind of like with acting, where actors get to do a very dangerous thing in a safe place, right? It's like it's controlled, but it's dangerous. It's dangerous for you to walk up to four people and go, "Hey, leave that girl alone." You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Or hold a Tommy gun in the middle of Rodeo Drive and start blasting. You know, like that's probably going to get you arrested. But like, you're in a safe place, and that's your job.
And I think that's kind of what the whole allure is to like social media and everything else. It's like people get reality TV. Social media is just reality TV on steroids. Yeah. You know?
Yep.
I mean, I think that's what it is, man. And thanks to you, you're finding people like what you're doing with your services. Like from what I've gathered, man, you know, in our conversation we've had, you're making sure people are dope. And then you're helping them get seen. And if they're not dope and not authentic, then you're like, I don't have time for you. You can go.
It's not because I'm cooler than them. It's just because I don't have time for that. And I don't want that. I don't want to, because if I have a way to gain attention for someone on, let's say, Instagram, why am I going to gain attention for someone who's negative? That's like me doing a disservice to the universe.
Yeah, straight up.
You know what I mean?
Straight up. And so you're using your powers for good.
There was one customer where I knew it was going to be a problem from the moment she signed up. I actually have a friend who has an agency. She was with him for a while. She dropped his name, said they were garbage, blah, blah, blah. I asked him and I said, what, you know, and he said, she's a nightmare. And I was like, okay, if that's all, I'm okay with it. If she's just a nightmare, I'm, you know, I should have learned from him and I should have listened to my gut, because it was a nightmare. And after her, I never again had a problem, because I don't fuck with anyone who's not like at least willing to be like a good person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least someone who's like willing to not be selfish, self-centered.
Yeah. And it's out there, but there's just as many other people out there who aren't. And so, yeah, you just got to make your choice. That's true.
Yep.
And you're bringing the my people that, oh, go ahead.
Oh no, it's cool. Finish that. And I'll
oh no, yeah. I was just saying, I already forgot what I was going to say, but I mean, this conversation will literally continue to go on forever if we don't put a pump on a brake on it.
Okay. Let me do one thing then. So for cause my headphones are about to die. So if for my podcast, I have a thing, the show's called No Fronts. Okay. At the end of the show, something that I used to do with my mentor, the guy who saved my life, the person who I owe everything to, we used to do it. And we did it when, you know, we were both like in our heads, and like I worked for him, and we were always it was like overlapping, and we'd do this thing where it'd be just he and I, and he'd say, I think we got to do Ready, Set, Go. And so Ready, Set, Go is this. So I would say to you, Ready, Set, Go. And for, I'll count, let's say 30, let's do 30 seconds. You just go. You don't think about what you're saying. You let it all out. It could be anything you want. You just talk until, like, don't think about it once. Like, I'm gonna, like, the second you think about it is the second you make. The only thing that, the only rule is to not think about it. Shit. Just fucking let it out.
Like, whatever comes to mind?
Whatever comes to mind, however you're feeling, whatever fears, anything, just do it right after, and I'll do it, and I'll go after you.
Okay. All right.
Ready? Set? Mm-hmm. Go.
It's kind of hard to figure out how to be who you're supposed to be in a world that constantly pushes you to be something that you may not actually be. And so it gets confusing to hold all those thoughts together while trying to find love in the world, while trying to be love in the world, while trying to get something to eat. And it pushes you close to the point where you feel like you might have fallen to your feet and I don't know. It's just fucking, it's scary to be alive, and I'm doing everything I can to survive, and all I want to do is make sure that while I'm alive, something fucking mattered.
There you go. That's it. Now you, that's perfect. Now you say it to me and we'll close it out with that.
Okay. Ready, set, go.
I love that I made you go first, because I actually didn't want to go first. That's why I did it, to be honest. But the truth of the matter is, when I let shit out, I feel better. Even if it's like weird shit, like I don't know what the fuck I'm doing or where I am. Sometimes I feel grounded, sometimes I don't. I still feel like a scream looking for a mouth, but I feel like I found my voice in some places. Sometimes my mind is insane. Sometimes I feel like I can't tame the dragon inside me. Sometimes I feel like a piece of shit still. But even though those days come and go, I'll let it out and I'll let you know, because my mind is fucking insane. My heart is on my sleeve. I'm willing to grow. I just want to be free. Free. I don't even know anymore what that means. But believe me, when I let it out, I'll come to me, maybe late at night. It still feels like a fight, but I'm trying to just let it all out. I'm trying to let it go, because I'm basically throwing up my mental on you right now. I feel dirty, but it's okay, because I'm going to get clean. Take a shower. My mind's crazy. Fuck, I don't even know. It feels like a dream.
Yeah. Come on, man. This was dope. I was born for Ready, Set, Go. That was dope.
Ready, Set, Go, and that's how I usually end it.
That's dope, man.
And my podcast is called No Fronts.